द फर्स्ट क्वेश्चन, भगवान अनइमेजिन्ड एक्सटेसी, अनइमेजिन्ड पेन, योग सुधा, इट इज नेचुरल. एक्सटेसी एंड ग्रेट पेन हैपन टूगेदर बिकॉज इट इज ए न्यू बर्थ, द जॉय ऑफ बींग बॉर्न, द जॉय ऑफ एंटरिंग इन टू द अननोन, द ग्रेट एडवेंचर इन टू गॉड. But a pain is also there, great pain, pain of leaving the old, the familiar, the known, the pain of leaving the secure, the safe, the pain of dying, dying as the ego. If the ecstasy is true, it is bound to be so that there will be great pain. This is one of the criterions to judge whether the ecstasy is true or not. It is like uprooting a tree from its known soil and transplanting it into a new climate, into a new country. The tree will have to learn to live again from ABC, and it is hard to unlearn, and it is hard to learn again. Pain is bound to be there, great pain and agony precede great ecstasy. It can continue for months, for years too, it all depends on you. Now don't look back, that which is gone and gone forever. Never to return again. Whatsoever you do, you cannot bring it back. The child cannot enter into the womb again. Howsoever pleasant it was, comfortable, convenient, secure, safe, the child may have great nostalgia for the womb, those beautiful eternal 9 months. Yes, I say eternal because the child feels like them as eternity, not as 9 months. He has no idea of calculating time. Those long, long 9 months of such warmth, of such protection, of such unworried existence, of such tremendous rest and relaxation, the nostalgia hangs around. The child would like to go back to the womb, but it is not possible. Going back is not possible at all. It is not in the nature of things. One has always to go forward. And when you look forward, everything is so unfamiliar that great fear arises. One never knows where one is. One loses one's identity. one passes through a great crisis of identity. The known is no more there to cling to, and the unknown seems to be ungraspable. But don't look back. That which can't happen. Look forward. And don't interpret the new and the unknown as unsafe. Interpret it in terms of adventure, exploration. Interpret it as great freedom. Buddha talks again and again about freedom. It is freedom from the past, freedom from the mother, freedom from the parents, freedom from the society, freedom from the church, the state. What I am giving to you is absolute freedom. Yes, fear can arise. But fear arises because of your interpretation. Deep down somewhere in the unconscious, you still would like to go back, to close your eyes to the new sunrise. You would like to go back even though there was nothing much valuable, nothing significant, but at least one was safe. The territory was familiar. One lived surrounded by walls. We call it prison, but you used to call it your home. And I have taken you out of your home because it was not your real home. It was only a make-believe. This freedom, this ecstasy that is arising, is your real home. Now, if you cling to the past, which is no more possible, and you don't allow the future to happen smoothly, the pain can continue, the agony can continue for months, for years. And you will be split, a part of you clinging to the no more, and a part of you longing for the not yet. Now be courageous. Take the quantum leap, just as the snake slips out of the old skin. Slip out of the old. It has fulfilled its function. It has brought you to the new. Gratefully say goodbye to it and plunge into this exploration that is becoming available to you. Plunge into this insecurity, into this danger, because life is where insecurity is. Life is where danger is. There is no other way to live totally unless you learn to live dangerously. More danger, more aliveness. Less danger, less aliveness. And I am making available peaks upon peaks for you. This is an unending chain. You will reach one peak thinking that this is the end and now you can rest. But by the time you have rested a little bit, you will become aware of a higher peak challenging you, calling you forth. A new pilgrimage starts, and this goes on and on. Life is an eternal pilgrimage. There is no goal to it. It is a pure journey. Hence the joy of it. If there was a goal to it, that will mean a full stop to your life. Then what you are going to do? After the full stop, there is nothing, no more. Life knows nothing of full stops. Life is a continuum, a song that never ends, a story that goes on unfolding. Each moment, something new is ready to happen if you are available. Sudha, your observation is true. You say unimagined ecstasy, unimagined pain. That's how it has always been. I don't talk much about the pain, because that will make you so afraid that you will not take the jump. I talk about ecstasy to persuade you, to seduce you into taking the jump. Once you have taken the jump, you will know that there is great pain too. But that pain is a blessing in disguise. That pain is the pain. The gold passes through when it goes through the fire. It purifies. It makes you more and more integrated. It gives you centering. It creates a soul in you. Without this pain, there is no soul. And without this pain, there is no ecstasy possible. You would like to bypass the pain and reach this ecstasy. But that cannot be done. Es dhammo sanantano. This is the law. And the law has to be followed. We can't go against the law. But once you have known the ecstasy, it is worth going through all pain. One can sacrifice everything for the ecstasy, because ecstasy is another name of God approaching closer to you. You melting into God is what ecstasy is all about. The word ecstasy is beautiful. It simply means standing out. Out of what? Standing out of your ego, your personality, your mind. Getting out of the whole structure in which you have lived, not only lived, but you have become identified with it. Standing out of this all, just a pure witness, a watcher on the hills, and everything is left deep down in the valley. Drop the nostalgia. Drop dreaming about the valley. Enough, you have lived in the valley. And what have you gained? For many, many lives you have lived in the valley, in all those chains, thinking that they are ornaments. Maybe they were made of silver and gold. Maybe they were studded with diamonds and emeralds. But whether a chain is made of iron or gold, it makes no difference. In fact, the golden chain is far more difficult to break because you become more attached to it. You have lived in the valley so long, for so many lives. Now try to live on the peaks and be totally with the peaks. Forget all about of the valleys, because that will be a disturbance. That disturbance is creating pain. You are looking back again and again. Still some desire, longing, some hope that you may get to your back structures again. But let me make you absolutely clear about it. There is no going back. Now you have crossed that point from where one person can still go back. So it is an exercise in futility to feel pain for something which is no more. But it will keep you occupied and you will miss the joys of the peak, the fresh air of the peak, the unpolluted atmosphere of the peak, the closeness of the sun and the clouds. Now this is the time to whisper with the clouds and with the sun and the stars. It is a beautiful moment. Decide in favor of ecstasy and whatsoever pain happens through that decision, accept it with joy, with thankfulness. The more gratefully you accept it as part of growth, soon it will disappear and it will not leave even a trace on you. You will be unscratched by it. If you cling too long with it, it will leave wounds. Even if they heal, the marks will remain with you. These moments are very vulnerable. When one passes from one stage of being to another stage of being, these moments are very soft, impressionable. Don't give much attention to pain. And that's what, Sudha, you have been doing for a few months. I have been watching silently. Many times I have to be just a silent watcher. Because I hate to interfere. Even though I know you need, still I respect your freedom so much that unless you ask, I will keep quiet. I will not say a word. I will feel great compassion for you. I am perfectly aware of your tears and the anguish that you are passing through. But I have been keeping myself aloof deliberately, because this is the only way to give the disciple a chance to grow. If I go on interfering at every stage, helping, supporting, you will start depending on me too much. Then you will never be able to walk on your feet. You will always need crutches. And I don't want to give you crutches. I don't want you to be dependent on me. The only gift that I can give to you is that of total freedom, of independence. Hence I have been silent, waiting that someday You will ask the question. Today you have asked the question. Now I can say, I can share my understanding with you. But still the decision always remains with you. You can go on crying and weeping for spilled milk, or you can gather yourself and take a plunge into the new world that I have made available to you. Don't waste time. Time is really precious. Far more precious than money. Far more precious than anything in the world. Because it is through time that you can contact eternity. And these moments are rare. If you miss them once, one never knows when they will come back again. Maybe after lives, you may come across a Buddha again. And there is every possibility you will repeat the same mistake, because mind wants to repeat. Mind is repetition. Even after lives, it repeats the same mistakes. It happened once, a young prince asked Buddha to initiate him as a bhikkhu, as a sannyasin. Buddha was a little reluctant. This was very rare. Buddhas are never reluctant, or very rarely. They are always happy if somebody is asking for initiation. Ananda, Buddha's chief disciple, immediately became aware that Buddha is a little hesitant. He said, "Bhagwan, why are you hesitating? I have never seen you hesitate. You persuade people. You help people. You do everything possible to bring them to the way. And this man is asking himself, and not an ordinary man. A great prince with great potential. If he becomes a disciple, many more will follow. Why are you hesitating?" Buddha said to Ananda, "Because this young man has been initiated in the past by other Buddhas at least 7 times. And he has been committing the same mistake again and again. And mind is repetitive. I know I can give him initiation, but he is bound to repeat the same mistake. But if you say, I initiate him, now watch what happens." The young man was initiated. And of course this whole dialogue with Ananda has happened in front of him. So he was very conscious not to repeat anything. But he does not remember anything of the past life. When you don't remember, how can you avoid repetition? If you remember, you can avoid. He asked Buddha many times, "Please tell to me what is my mistake that I have been repeating again and again. And you say I have lived with 7 other Buddhas. I don't want to miss this opportunity." Buddha said, "That won't help much, because you have asked the 6th Buddha the same question. And the 5th also. And they had answered. I am not going to do it. I will tell you only when the time arrives. And the time arrived within few days. They traveled to another city. They were staying in a small caravanserai. 10,000 sannyasins. There was no space. It must have been as overcrowded as it is here. Now when I look at you, I completely forget whether you are sannyasins or sardines. I have to go on reminding myself, no, these are my sannyasins. The older sannyasins of Buddha were given a little better space, a little more space. They were old, senior. This young man was the latest addition to the Buddha's Sangha, his order. He got the place at the outermost circumference, just in the porch where people used to put their shoes. He had to sleep there. A prince and is sleeping in a porch where people keep their shoes. He was very hurt. In the night he could not sleep for the same reasons that you suffer, mosquitoes. They are the ancient most enemies of meditators. If you are not meditating, they will not take any note of you. Once you start meditating, suddenly they become interested in you. The blood of a meditator has a certain sweetness. And there were mosquitoes and he was unable to sleep. And the sarai was so overcrowded and people were coming and going the whole night. Somebody was coming, somebody was leaving. How you can sleep in a porch? In the middle of the night, he said, this is stupid. This is just nonsense. I have not become a sannyasin for all this. I had a beautiful palace, every facility. Next morning, I will say goodbye to Buddha. In fact, he wanted to leave at that very moment. But that will be not right. At least he has to say to Buddha that I am finished. But before the morning came, Buddha came to him in the middle of the night. And he said, now the time has come. I can answer your question. This has been happening to you again and again. You have been initiated for 7 times. But just for small things, you always became so much disturbed that you went away. You can go. This is your old habit. Because of this habit, I was hesitant. He has brought Ananda with him and he said, look, what do you say now? This man wants to leave tomorrow morning. This young man has not said a single word. He fell in Buddha's feet. He said, how you came to know in the middle of the night? Buddha said, that is not your business. That's what makes me a master. But in the morning you want to go, you can go. But go with this awareness that this is how you have been losing the track again and again. The young man never left. It was difficult. Buddha gave him many, many uncomfortable situations. But he was a man of integrity, belonged to a very famous family, ancient, noble, belonged to the warrior race. It was against his whole upbringing to lead the Buddha. And now that Buddha has said him what has been the cause in the past, and as meditation deepened, he started remembering his past associations with other Buddhas. And slowly, slowly he became aware that yes, for small things, he had left Buddhas. For such small things, he has lost the way many times. Sudha, the pain is there. And it is not only for you. Others will also pass through the pain. Many have passed through it. Many will have to pass through it. Pass through it joyously. Keep your eye on the ecstasy. Don't focus yourself on the pain. That is the wrong approach. Focus yourself on the ecstasy and think the pain is the price we pay for the ecstasy. And soon the pain will disappear. And the energy released from the pain will bring even higher realms of ecstasy. Will bring you to greater altitudes of ecstasy. Be watchful.